Hi, and welcome to What's Happening, Behind the Scenes with Trauma Recovery HAP. I'm Carol Martin, host of this podcast and Executive Director of Trauma Recovery, EMDR Humanitarian Assistance Programs. I'm thrilled to bring you inside the amazing community of HAP to share our history of bringing trauma healing to those in need throughout the world and to tell the stories of real impact our organization makes every day. Today, we are joined by Bill Statlander, president of our board of directors. Bill first got involved with our organization back in 2007. He's the former CEO of Homestat Farm, a manufacturer of food products, and prior to that, was a corporate officer with Abbott Laboratories. In addition to our board, Bill also serves on the Ohio Health Board of Directors. I also like to share that Bill gives of his time and talent and experience very generously to me and the rest of the board and staff. Bill, thank you so much for joining me today and congratulations on 15 years with trauma recovery. Maybe condolences.
Thank you, Carol. 12 of those 15 years were with you, by the way. Wow. But thank you. In the last 15 years, my knowledge and a need for trauma recovery HAP and EMDR have grown exponentially. I'm thankful for Francine Shapiro and Robbie Dunton for their vision to establish HAP and support this vision with their time, ideas, and financial resources.
Hey, Bill. Let's start with how you first got involved with Trauma Recovery HAP back in 2007. It's through your family that you learned of EMDR and this organization, right?
Yes. My sister, who's passionate about everything she's involved in, Morty Ritchie, was using EMDR in her practice, and she was on HAP's board of directors. She approached me to see if I was interested to join HAP's board. I wasn't familiar with EMDR nor HAP. My background was in business, and I was working for a healthcare company, Abbott Laboratories. At the time, HAP was struggling financially, and I agreed to join the board and have been thankful ever since.
Well, I can tell you we're grateful too. We've really appreciated your service to this organization. I have a question. Why does this organization's mission resonate with you? What about this work motivates you?
First of all, Trauma Recovery's mission is to build capacity for effective trauma-informed therapy in underserved communities throughout the world. We continue to grow rapidly and build local, worldwide EMDR capacity. On a daily basis, the media reports worldwide events resulting in trauma. EMDR is very effective trauma therapy and building resilience for future traumas. Our efforts in addressing worldwide trauma remind me of a story. In California, thousands of starfish wash up on the beach each year and die. A person walking on the beach picked up a starfish and threw it back into the water. Someone said, "What are you doing there? There are thousands of starfish on the beach that will die." The response of the person throwing the starfish was not the one I returned to the water. That one will live. Each time I hear of trauma recovery making a difference in someone's life, it reinforces my motivation.
That's what motivates me as well. And I certainly appreciate the fact that we can't reach everybody, but we can sure try. And that's what motivates, I think, so many people that are volunteers for this organization. In fact, we often talk about our volunteers being the heart of our organization. You are a volunteer. And as I mentioned before, you give your time and expertise and treasure as a board member. Can you a bit about our volunteers? What do you think draws them to our organization? And I think you addressed that a little bit with your starfish story, and tell a little bit about why you think they're so crucial to our work.
Yes, volunteers, as you had mentioned, are the heart and soul of our organization. They're passionate, and the reward is gratification in helping others and seeing how it changes people's lives. There are various groups of volunteers. They enjoy the community of working together and sharing each other's experiences. The first group are trainers and facilitators. It requires multiple years to become facilitators and additional years to become trainers. This group of volunteers trains others to use EMDR as effective therapy for trauma. The next group of volunteers respond to human or natural cause trauma. The first use of volunteers responding to disasters was a result of the Oklahoma City bomb that killed 168 people in 1995. People flew in from around the country to use EMDR effectively. Another group of volunteers are the Trauma Recovery Network, which was established 15 years ago to have local EMDR-trained professionals volunteer in the case of human or natural causes of trauma. There are 66 networks, primarily in the U.S., but expanding worldwide. There are over 1,600 volunteers. The Trauma Recovery Network evolved to having more local EMDR-trained professionals dealing with local events. These networks establish relationships with first responders, nonprofits, and other people and organizations that deal with disasters. Many geographic areas have different natural disasters, such as fires, hurricanes, tornadoes. We also encourage our networks to have continuous interactions so that they are motivated and not just responding to infrequent local disasters. For example, in New Haven, Connecticut, they deal with the families and friends of homicide victims coordinated with the police department. In areas where we do not have local networks, volunteers are sent to respond. Another group of volunteers mostly live and work internationally. Our objective is identifying and supporting champions of EMDR to eventually be self-sustaining in their respective countries. Currently, there are volunteers in Poland using EMDR to help traumatized Ukraine refugees. Community is very important to our volunteer trainers, facilitators, and TRNs. Our newsletters, special events, and future conferences are intended to recognize and share stories of their successful use and effectiveness of EMDR. The community of volunteers enjoy working together and sharing experiences. Some of the attributes of volunteers: they give of their time freely, they're flexible to living conditions, adjusting to situations to effectively use EMDR. They're willing to care for the mental health of all people through the use of EMDR, regardless of country, gender, religion, or other differences. And responsibilities of the Trauma Recovery HAP team are to identify situations and needs where volunteers using EMDR can be the most effective. This includes people, organization, and other factors where they are receptive to volunteers and EMDR. We coordinate activities, communication between the volunteers and the community. This sometimes includes transportation, housing, interpreters, materials, and setting up trainings. We provide human and financial resources. Many of the volunteers enjoy working with us because they know that we will support them in the different needs, and that varies.
And we have tried. Well, in fact, this week, I think it may be next week, we're having another quarterly meeting of our TRN leaders to see how can we help them? What can we do to meet their needs? And right now, and we were talking about this, we've spoken about this earlier, Bill, there has been an increased need for our services, most particularly after the extraordinary number of cases of gun violence. And that is something that we will have to continue to understand how, in fact, we can better help communities post these horrendous and always unexpected at that moment shootings. It's been a challenge for us, as you would agree, I'm sure, Bill, right?
Yes, yes, very much so. It's almost people don't feel as safe now in terms of going out or doing various things, because in areas that were perceived as being safe, for example, in Highland Park yesterday at a 4th of July parade, people felt very safe going there, and it turned to be tragic with gun violence.
You know, with EMDR therapy, one of the essential pieces of that therapy is to provide for each of the clinicians provide for their client a safe space. It is becoming increasingly difficult to provide a geographic safe space. So I'm hoping that this therapy can at least help people when in fact they've experienced some sort of horrible trauma. I don't just hope it can, I know it has. And so that's one of the things that keeps me going in this work. And I'm sure that's how you feel too, Bill, right?
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
You know, there's been another piece of the sort of texture and background to the work that we do. And that's what's happened over the last 2.5 years with COVID. It's been a challenging time for the world, this country, and I would say to titrate it down to the individual level for this organization and for the people who we know who have been affected and involved with this. How do you see this organization's changing and adapting in a response to COVID-19 pandemic, which we've already done? And what can people anticipate going forward, Bill?
Yes, COVID has changed many people's lives and many people's attitudes. It's been a challenge in many ways, both personally and professionally for many people. Our trainings were done in person pre-COVID. And when COVID occurred, we canceled our trainings and refunded the money of in-person training. Many of our volunteers didn't want to train virtually and question the effectiveness of that training. Today, our EMDR trainings are done virtually, and this has proven to be effective. This has increased our reach and also increased the number of competitive trainers. The focus is on the quality of our training, which is very important. But there are many other things where COVID had affected the environment and our business plan. Our organization needed a different structure and skill set. The people that were setting up meetings in-person meetings, that job wasn't necessary. People that were unfamiliar with or did not care for virtual training. So we need a different structure and skill set. People were also going to work from home and not coming to the office. EMDRIA was also not predictable at all in terms of their direction because they're dealing with a new situation. And that created a lot of internal work and effort and trying to anticipate what the next MDRIA requirement would be. COVID was also creating anxiety in society with personal and work challenges. Many people were working from home, and then you have them not used to that, or whether there's children or an environment, it just completely challenged people in terms of a new situation. I'm thankful for the volunteers and Carol and her staff. Tenacity, flexibility, passion have resulted in Trauma Recovery HAP being well positioned for the future. But we've had a lot of changes along the way. And I always look at where there are challenges, there are opportunities. And I feel with Carol and her organization, the vision in terms of doing virtual trainings, in training our trainers, hiring new trainers and training them, not hiring, getting more volunteers and also facilitators. Also trying to community was very important to our volunteers. And how do we keep that community together and make sure that the work people are doing is rewarded from a standpoint of other people understanding who's doing what and learning from their experiences to do a better job. Also the quality of what we do. So again, I'm very happy with the amount of time and effort that's gone into this. From a financial standpoint, we were able to get through this without eliminating anyone's job. So that was very positive out of this also. So it's really reassigning people to different functions and also going outside and getting either consultants or employees that can fulfill those future visions in terms of social media and various other aspects that we think will be important in the future.
Yeah, and I think you're 100% right that we have to be forward thinking. And one of the ways that I know that we've discussed and that we want to accomplish a few of the things you mentioned, community building and reaching the people that have been involved with us for some time. We're planning on having a conference in April 2023. We've just decided the date. It's April 21st, we will make sure that people receive, anybody that's interested and wants to attend, we'll be getting information about it. And we're very excited that this will give us an opportunity to bring our community of learners and volunteers together to share lessons learned and to look at how we can more effectively address some of the community and mental health disasters that will continually and will constantly be a challenge for us. So hold on to your seatbelts because it's going to happen. And that's, we're excited about it.
Yeah, that's great news. You know, getting together, there's a difference between, you know, Zoom and WebEx and actually sitting down and talking to people face to face. So I welcome very much and seeing people I haven't seen in many years.
You know, it's going to be wonderful and we're really looking forward to it. One of the other things that before we conclude this podcast is, do you have a favorite memory or experience you'd like to share about your time with this organization and HAP?
Sure. The first one is from a personal standpoint. EMDR enabled one of our family members that was in a physical and mental abusive relationship to end that relationship and emerge with a happy ending of spouse and children. So that goes from me 15 years ago, not even knowing what EMDR was, to seeing the positive effect it's had on one of my family members. I've also learned to have more compassion for people with a better understanding of how trauma has affected their lives. Before getting involved with EMDR, I didn't realize how people could be affected by certain things that other people would look at and said, why did that affect them? It would not have affected me. So that's given me more compassion when I'm seeing someone's behavior or whatever relative to what their issues are. Well, I also enjoyed the challenges and opportunities, including TRNs, international, and COVID with limited resources, and enjoyed Bob and you, Carol, as executive directors with great visions, limited resources, tenacity, positively influencing people's lives through awareness and use of EMDR. And I've also learned and enjoyed interacting with the board and thank them for their time and contributions. So we're all in the boat together trying to accomplish the same positive outcome.
Yes, and I couldn't be more grateful. I've had incredible support and an incredible knowledge base to help me to help this organization move along. And I really am most appreciative for your leadership, for your personal kindness, and for your support. And I think that anybody who knows you has worked with you would agree. So thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
You take good care now.
Okay. Thanks again.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks for listening to What's Happening Behind the Scenes with Trauma Recovery. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Find our latest episode and more on our website, www.emdrhap.org. I'm your host, Carol Martin. Thanks, and see you next time.